Okay, so when thinking about the Megillah, there's not very many characters, which leads you to believe that everyone who is included in the Megillah has an important role. One thing that originally comes to mind is Chazal are so conscious of this idea that whoever is placed in the Megillah has a purpose for being there, that when it talks about Memuchan in the beginning, they're very quick to say that, oh, that must be Haman. That there's this idea in general throughout Tanakh of preservation of personalities, that Midrashim will often interpret different characters to be the same person. But specifically in the Megillah, we're very aware of everyone and everything that is included in the Megillah. So what I wanted to take a look at is the women in the Megillah. When there's two key women included in the Megillah, it leads you to believe that there is something important about these two women, notably Esther. The Megillah is named after her. But I wanted to look not only at Esther, but at Vashti also. So we're first going to look at Vashti. We know very little about Vashti, but we all think that we definitively know the few things that we know about Vashti. Like, you ask any little kid, Vashti is the evil queen. Ahasuerus killed her because she didn't want to come to the party. Everyone is sure, whether they tell you that she had pimples or she had a tail, depends who their teacher was and how much pshat is being included in their education. But in general, people think they know everything about Vashti. So let's look a little deeper at the story of Vashti. So it says in the beginning of Megillat Esther that Ahasuerus is making this grand party with drinking, and everyone was there, and these beautiful, luxurious decorations. And then it says, Gam Vashti Amalka, Stamishten Hashem, Beit HaMalchut, Asher LeMalach Ahasuerus. So Vashti too, the queen, she also made a party. Biyom HaShvi'i, on the seventh day, Ketol Lev HaMalach Bayayin, once the king is good and drunk, Amar LeMehuman, Bizta Harvona, Beita Vavgata, Zatar VeKarkas, Shivat Hasarisim, he says to his seven advisors, Hameshartim Epnei HaMalach HaChashverosh, Lahavi et Vashti HaMalka Lefnei HaMalach, Beketer Malchut, Laharot HaAmim VaHasarim et Yafya, Kitovat Marahi. So on the seventh day, he tells his seven officers, he says, I'm calling to Vashti for her to come to the party in her crown, that everyone should observe her beauty. V'timain ha-malka Vashti lavo b'dvar ha-malach asher b'yad ha-sarisim v'yitzof ha-malach me'od v'chamato ba'arabo. So it says Ahasuerus sent for Vashti, and she said, I'm not coming. This was not according to Ahasuerus' plan, and it says the anger burns within him. V'yomer ha-malach l'chachamim yod'ei ha'itim ki kein d'var ha-malach lefnei kol yod'ei da'at v'adin. So they let this be known to the king. So they came back and they told the king and they said, Vashti's not coming, and they said, what should we do with her?
Excuse me, is Memuchan Haman?
No, Memuchan. We're going to see in the next pasuk. That Mehuman. Actually, yes. I think Mehuman and Memuchan are equated to be the same person, which are also equated to be Haman. Yes, I believe that's correct. Yes. Yes. Ve'yomer Memuchan lefnei ha-melech v'asarim. Lo ha-melech levado avta Vashti ha-malka, ki al kol ha-sarim ve'kol ha-amim asher b'chol medinot ha-melech ha-chashverosh. So there's a meeting of these seven officers with Ahasuerus, and they say, King Ahasuerus, Vashti did not just sin against you. She has sinned against all of the men in the land. Because word is going to get out to all of the women that Ahasuerus sent for Vashti and that she didn't come. And it will be an embarrassment for everybody here. So it will go out that Vashti has been punished for what she has done, and the king will choose a new queen. V'nishma p'kam ha'malach asher yaseh b'chol malchuto ki rabahi v'chol anashim yitnu yakar l'ba'alehen v'migadol v'ad katan. And it will be heard that the king sent away Vashti, and this will spread to all the women, and it will counteract the effects of what Vashti has done. V'yitav adabar b'nei ha'malach v'asarim v'yas ha'malach kidvar m'muchan. And this sounded like a good plan to Achashverosh, and he listened to what m'muchan had said. V'yishlach svarim al kol medinor hamach, al medina u medina kechtava, v'al kol am v'am kelshono, lihiyo kol ish sorer b'vito, u'medaber kelshon amo. So the word went out into all the nations, what Achashverosh did to Vashti, and this is what it was. So while we think we know a lot about Vashti, we truly know very little from the Pesukim. So in order to see what could possibly be similar between the women in the Pesukim, I wanted to first look a little closer at what exactly happened with Vashti. Because all we know is the king sent for her, and she said no. And then we know the events that occurred as a result of this, the talking about what went on, the meeting, and the following law that was enacted. However, we don't really know anything about Vashti. But the commentators have a lot to say about Vashti. If we look in the Midrash in Esther Rabbah, it says, "Lehavia Vashtiya Malka lifnei hamelach b'keter malchut." So it said, "What did Achashverosh want? He wanted to bring Vashti before him in her royal crown." Amar Rabbi Abayhu kaparatan shel Yisrael, she k'she Yisrael ochlin v'shotim musmichin, hin mevarchin u'mishabchin u'mikalsin laKadosh Baruch Hu. So in the Midrash, it first focuses in on one aspect. It says, "This is a praise for Bnei Yisrael." That when Bnei Yisrael sit around and they eat and they drink and they have a party, they're still focused on Hashem. But it says rather, "Kishayumot ha'olam ochlim v'shotim u'mitaskin him b'divrei tiflus." Ze omer midiot na'o, v'ze omer parsiot na'o. Amar lahanot. So it says, in contrast, when the nations of the world get together and they have a party and they eat and they drink, they talk about nothing. When Jews sit around and have a mishnah, they talk about Hashem. The Jews, the other nations of the world, they talk about nothing. They talk about the women from this place, and they talk about the women from that place, and these are more beautiful, and those are more beautiful. Amar lahem oto tipish. That tipish, that stupid one, said to them. We see the Midrash uses very kind language about Achashverosh. Keilish oto ha'ish mishamish bo ino lo midio velo parsio ela kasti. So it says, my queen, she's not a Midianite woman, and she is not a Parsi woman, she is a Kasdian woman, and she is the most beautiful. Mevakshima temlaroto, do you want to see her? Amrulo, heinu bilvadja teheyaruma. They said, yes, but you must bring her naked. Amar lahon hein va'aruma. And he said, sure, no problem. So this was not a request. Vashti, can you just come say hello to the people at the party? There was a sort of there's a beauty contest going on. No, the women from my nation are the most beautiful. The women from my nation are the most beautiful. And instead of Ahasuerus jumping in and just putting an end to this, he says, no, really, my wife is the most beautiful, and I'm going to show her off to all of you. So we're already getting a little deeper into what was asked of Vashti. So the Malbim comments, Gan Vashti Amalka mitzad shehechlit sheikar inyana, Hu Vashti v'shtei ha'malka sheshma kodem l'malchuta v'ein malchuta rak al yado. So the Malbim is going to introduce us to something even deeper that was going on here. In the Midrash, it's just, okay, there was something silly going on, and then Achashverosh jumped in and asked something inappropriate of Vashti. The Malbim adds an extra layer, that not only was this a silly plan of Achashverosh, rather, this was really a power play by Achashverosh. That every word really teaches us something. That the Malbim says, it says, Gam Vashti Hamalka, that her name is put before her title. As opposed to Hamelach Achashverosh, it's Vashti Hamalka. That Achashverosh wanted to call and say, could you bring Vashti? Oh yeah, Vashti the queen. That Achashverosh was self-conscious. Vashti was the member of the royal team that had come from royal lineage. She was the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. And Achashverosh was constantly trying to prove his power over her. So he calls and says, oh, Vashti, oh yeah, she's the queen, but she's also having a party. To publicly announce before everyone that before she's a queen, she's Vashti. That he wants to trick people into thinking that the kingdom comes from his side. So the Malbim is saying, this is really a power play by Achashverosh. She's calling to Vashti, the queen. Send Vashti, I'm in charge of her. The Malbim continues, Lahavi. Shehalomar es sheviuha baal karcha ke'echat shevchutav. He wanted Vashti to be brought against her will, like one of the servants. Shetziva sheviuha beofen sheyaduha kol ki mevi'im. He wanted her brought in a way that everyone would know that she is being brought and that she is not coming on her own. So what Ahasuerus is trying to do here is he's really trying to minimize Vashti. He's trying to downplay her importance. And lastly, the Malbim says, Yafya ki tovat mar'ehi. She'im hi'haya l'kucha ba'avor yechusa u'ba'avor sha'al yadei zacha al yadeha zacha l'malchut lo yitachin she'ir'eh et yafya. Ahasuerus wants to show off her beauty to say, I didn't take her for her lineage, I took her for her beauty. Ki halo bin yafa bin kilra haya l'kucha achar she'amad l'kacha v'hamlucha. Because his thought process was, if people are thinking that I took Vashti as my queen just for the sake of becoming a part of the royal family, then it wouldn't matter if she's beautiful or ugly, I would have taken her either way. So if I show off to everyone that she's beautiful, it will make the point that I married her for her beauty and that my royal blood that I'm now connected to is not from her. He wants to prove that it comes from himself. So let's just continue in the Malbim. Halo ze bizayon amedinut imar ayafya ki ilu hayofi chashuv yuter min hamalcha shehasig al yada. So he's placing her beauty before her royal importance. Aval bazagila ki ein machshivota lemalcha mitaratzma vezacha behamalchot mitaratzmo bekocho ugvurato ubazerata lahagia lechavtzo lemloch mulcha belti mugbalat. So this was all part of Ahasuerus' royal plan, that he wanted to downplay Vashti, he wanted to play up his own strength and importance through downplaying her, through minimizing her importance, through really denigrating her in front of everyone else, making her seem small and unimportant so that he could get ahead. So we all think Vashti is this terrible, evil queen, but potentially she's just a victim of Ahasuerus. It wouldn't go against what we read in the Pesukim, it's just not what we typically understand. But I want to look at the other Mefarshim on Vashti and see if we can see more insight into... We still don't know much about Vashti herself. So let's look a little bit closer at what we can learn about Vashti and her personality. Because at this point, I feel a little bad for Vashti. Ahasuerus is bossing her around in order to make his power moves. So the Gemara in Megillah and Daf Yad Bet Amud Bet says, "Vatimain." So why did Vashti refuse? "Michdei pritzota have." Maybe you would think she thought this was too inappropriate of a plan. Damarmar, shneihem l'davar avira nifkonenu. Don't think so highly of Vashti. Don't think she had such pure intentions and that this was something below her. This is something she thought was immoral. Rather, they both had immoral intentions. Mai tama lo ate, so why didn't she come? If they both had no problem with this inappropriate plan of most people assume that Vashti was asked to come naked, it's not that she thought this was such a terrible, inappropriate, immoral plan. Rather, Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Rav Chanina, Melamed Sheparcha Bat Sara'at, that Hashem stopped her from going by having her break out in Sara'at, Umatnitei Tani Ba Gavriel Va'asala Zanav, and the angel Gavriel came along and gave her a tail. So we shouldn't think that Vashti was so innocent, rather, if Hashem had not given her tzara'at and a tail, she would have been more than happy to go and parade in front of everyone. Rather, once she didn't look so great, she was not willing to go. And it continues, the Midrash Lekach Tov on Esther. Gam Vashti Amalka, Amar Rav Abba Bar Kahana, Milamid Shegam Hi Prutzahaita, V'gam Ikavenet L'Devar Avera. That Vashti also had immoral intentions. She was also one who acted in the not most appropriate way, that she also would have been totally fine going ahead with this plan of Ahasuerus. However, Rashi says, "Vatima in Hamalka Vashti, Rabotinu Amru, Lefisha Parchaba Tzara, Ketesha Timahin, Vitaharag, Lefisha Haita, Mifasheta, Benot Yisrael, Arumot, Vosop Bahen, Malacha, Bishabat, Nigzar, Aleha, Shitifashit, Aruma, Bishabat." So Rashi adds another layer. He said, Vashti was perfectly fine with coming naked. Rather, Hashem gave her tzara'at and a tail. Why is that? To punish her, mida keneged mida, measure for measure. Vashti used to specifically choose the Jewish girls, undress them, and have them serve her on Shabbos. So they would be so embarrassed and so belittled, and she really would choose that one thing. She knew they weren't allowed to work on Shabbos, and she knew that Jewish women had this value of tznius, and she would strip them and have them work on Shabbos. So Hashem was punishing her, midah keneged midah. That what was she punished for in the end of the day? He says this was the seventh day, it was Shabbos, and she was punished for not coming naked in front of Ahasuerus. So it was this idea of she had this ability to look at exactly what would be hardest for them, and she would optimize on that. And she would punish these Jewish girls who worked for her in the exact way that would bother them the most. And we continue in the Midrash in Esther Abba. V'tima in ha-malka Vashti, shalchava amra lo dvarim shehinog im bilibo. So this is not just Vashti being punished for herself. This is how Vashti actually, how did she refuse Ahasuerus? So it says she sent to him specific things that she knew would bother him, that would really touch his heart. Amralo imro inotina et, if you think I'm beautiful, hinot nimi nehem lishamishbi vehergimotcha. If everyone around you thinks I'm so beautiful, they're going to want to get rid of you. So they're going to look at me and they're going to want me over you and they're going to kill you. The imro inoticha ora, but if they think I'm ugly, at meganabi. Then you will even be put down through me. That it's a lose-lose for you, Ahasuerus. And this is what Vashti told him. If they think I'm beautiful, they're going to want to kill you to get to me. And if they think I'm ugly, then they're going to think less of you because of me. So she turns it around on Ahasuerus. And she says, Ahasuerus, I know you're self-conscious. This is all about you. This is a power move on your part. And I'm going to dig into that. And I'm going to say, anything that I do in this situation is going to reflect badly on you. And that was Ahasuerus's opposite of what Ahasuerus intended. And to continue even more so, to make this point, that this was what Vashti was good at, was digging into what people really were sensitive to. In the Gemara and Megillah, it says, V'yiktzov ha-melech me'od, am'ay d'laka be'i kulei hay amarava, shalchale bar ahorei rai, de'aba ava l'kabel alfa chamra, Shati v'lorave v'hahu gavra ishahi b'chamre miyad v'chamato ba'arabo. And it continues on, and it says that the pasuk continues on. It says that the king was very wrathful, that the anger was burning within him. And the Gemara asks, why was Ahasuerus so angry? What made him so upset? Was it simply that she didn't want to come? Rather, Rava says, she sent to him by the messengers, and she said, you're just a stable boy. You were nothing. You were the servant of my father. He was so strong. My father was able to drink way more than you did, and he did not become drunk. And he says, look at you. Like, you've become so senseless. Look what you're asking me to do. You barely drink anything. So she was really picking on him, and she was saying, you're nothing. You've come from nothing. You're still nothing. Compare you to my father, the real royal king, and you're nothing. That you act in such a lowly manner. And that's what made Ahasuerus so upset. That if we look at the previous sources that we had, this was a power move by Ahasuerus. And Vashti picked up on that. She wasn't so full of self-worth that she wasn't willing to come. It was that she wanted to specifically go against what Ahasuerus's plan was and dig into what Ahasuerus was most sensitive to and really optimize on that and make him feel terrible and really angry. And that's a deeper look into the story of Vashti. So if we look at Vashti in that lens, that Vashti really is evil, and what makes her so evil is that she chooses specifically what hurts people and what's the hardest for people, and she optimizes on that. How could I possibly have titled the shiur, What is in Common Between Vashti and Esther? We look at Esther as such a heroine, as such an amazing woman. Is there anything in common between her and Vashti? So let's look a little bit at what we know about Esther, which again is not actually so much. For a whole Megillah named after somebody, we don't know, so outside of the Midrashic sources and the different Mefarshim, we don't know much in the Psukim about Esther and her personality. So if we look at Esther in Perek Bet, it says, Vayhi omen et Hadassah, hi Esther bat Dodo. It's talking about Mordechai, and it said, he raised Hadassah, who was Esther, his niece. Ki ein la avim, because she didn't have a mother or father, v'hanara yafat toar v'tovat mar'ah, and she was a very beautiful woman. Ubimor aviha v'ima, and when her mother and father died, lacha Mordechai lo labat. Mordechai took her as a daughter. There are some mifarshim that explain bat im bat ela bayit, that he took her as a wife, that he made a home with her. So there is this, that's not our topic for today, but whether it was Esther was Mordechai's wife, how that affects the rest of the story, how her going to live with Ahasuerus reflects back on that. But just in the psukim, it says Mordechai took her as a daughter. And then we see further on in Parak Bet, in Esther Megedet Moladita Ve'etama Kasher Tziva Aleha Mordechai, Ve'ma'amar Mordechai Esther Osek Kasher Haita Ba'amnaito. So Esther gets taken to the palace, and Mordechai instructs her, when you reach the palace, do not say where you came from. Do not say you're Jewish. And Esther listened to Mordechai's instructions and didn't say where she was from, didn't say her nation. Also in Parak Bet, this comes previous to the pasuk before this, v'titav hanara be'inav v'tisa chased lefanav, that when Esther was taken to the palace, it says she won favor in everyone's eyes, v'tisa lefanav v'yifahel et tamrukav et minotah latit la, v'tsheva hanarot haruyat latit la mibit hamalach v'yishana hanarotah latov beit hanashim. So it says when she arrived at the house of the women, where the women were being prepared for Ahasuerus, she won favor in the head of the house, and she was given everything she would need. She was given whatever cosmetics she wants, and she was given 7 maid servants. And the Gemara asks, what about Esther made her win such favor in other people's eyes? We see right away, and we're going to see later on, that as soon as she approaches Esther, she also finds favor in his eyes. So what was so appealing about Esther? What did people love about Esther? So the Gemara Megillah asks, Vatihi Esther nis'achin, that Esther found favor. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Milamid shelekul achad ve'achad nitmata lo ki'umato. Esther had this ability to appear to each person as if she was from their nation. Now what does this mean? The Pirush, the Ben Yehuyada explains, Milamid shekul achad ve'achad nitmata lo ki'umata. So he comments on this Gemara. Makshim lemayit tarich nis zeh me'achar shahaya lachin gadol ve'inei kol adam. Why did Hashem have to make this miracle that she found favor in each person's eyes? Like, what was so important about finding favor in each person's eyes? V'pirish b'nei yedidi. K'dei shelo ya'asu l'malach hachrich misbara lomar shehi yehudi. There had to be some reason it was important not to tell the king what nation she was from. Mordechai didn't just randomly tell her, like, oh yeah, make sure not to tell him where you came from, what your nation is. Don't tell him anything important about you. So the reason that the Mefarshim are drawn to say that she made herself as if she was from every nation is to explain this instruction by Mordechai that she wasn't to say she was Jewish. Me'achar shelacha mibeito shel Mordechai, after she was taken from the house of Mordechai, Ella, adarava kol achad miro'eha ya'aseh hachrich shehi me'umato lefi hasarat tichlo. That every person she would meet would think about it and afterwards would say, you know what, she must be from my nation. This really reminds me of, I feel like my grandmother would always say if she found out about any famous person that she thought was a great act, it must be Jewish. Must be Jewish. So every person who came into contact with Esther would say, she must be from my nation. V'gam ho'il nisa shelo yitkananu ba hasarim. And the reason this miracle was made so that nobody would be jealous of her, Ella kol achad yomar achol lanu bebeit hamelach. Rather, instead of meeting Esther and saying, wow, how come that Jew was worthy of becoming the queen? Rather, they would say, look at that, the queen is from my nation. And they would be proud and they would say, look, we have a sister that's in the palace. We have a real ally of ours. There's someone of ours that's there. V'yirtze b'kiyuman, everyone would want her to be successful. Ad kan dvarav. So the Ben Yehoyada explains that the reason Esther found favor in everyone's eyes, she had this unique ability to make everyone think that she was from their nation. And why was this so important? Because that way they would all feel like they had a partner in Esther, that everyone wanted Esther to succeed. That when she got chosen by the king, it wasn't, wow, how could she have been the one chosen? Rather, it's, wow, we are so proud that we have a sister in Esther. We have a partner in the palace. So we see in Esther that in a much more subtle way, she has a similar trait to Vashti. That Vashti picked up on what was important to people and essentially broke it down. That whatever was important to the Jewish girls, she picked on that and she broke them down. Sneas was important, undress them. Shabbos was important, make them work. And then when it came to Achashverosh, Achashverosh was doing everything to build up his power. And Vashti specifically looked at him and said, I'm going to remind you of you came from nowhere, you're still nothing. I'm going to show everyone I'm in charge, and no matter what you do in this situation, I'm going to make you look bad. Esther, on the other hand, had the ability to say, I know what one is going to need to be successful in this palace. Look, there's a beauty pageant going on from the entire nation, which is comprised of so many different nations and different types of people. If I make myself unique from all of them, I point out exactly what nation I'm from, everyone's going to hate me. They're going to say, how come that girl was chosen from that nation and not a girl from our nation? And as we see, if we go way back to the original source, they were always comparing in Ahasuerus' kingdom. We're better than you. Our women are more beautiful than you. Esther was perceptive of this. She knew that there was going to be that sensitivity in whoever Ahasuerus chose as the next queen. And so she said, upon Mordechai's instruction, not only am I not going to say what nation I'm from, but I'm going to convince everyone that they have a partner in me. Make them feel good about it. Make them feel like they have someone from their nation. Whether or not it was true, they came to the conclusion on their own. She made it that she appealed to each person and they felt like she belonged with them. So we see that on a subtle level, Esther has exactly the same mizah as Vashti, in this ability to perceive what's important to people, but use it in a very different way. And if we continue, we see further that Esther has this sensitivity and this ability to be perceptive. Esther says in Perek Dalet, when Mordechai comes to her and says, Esther, you need to do something. We're all going to be destroyed. Esther instructs, Lich knos et kol ha-yehudim ha-nimtza'im b'shushan v'tsumu alai v'al tachlu v'al tishtu shlosha yamim. So Esther says, go out and collect all of the people that are found in Shushan. Collect all the Jews together. V'tzumu alai, and they should fast because of me. V'lo techlu v'lo tishtu. They shouldn't eat and they shouldn't drink for 3 days. Laila v'yom, gam ani v'narotai atzum. I will fast along with them. U'v'chin aval hamelch asher lo kadat v'kasher avadati avadati. And Esther says, after we do all these things, after you gather together all of the people and you all fast on my behalf and I fast along with you, at that point, I will go to the king. And if I'm lost, I'll be lost. The most famous line in the Megillah, Kasher avadati avadati. This isn't about me. If I'm lost, I'll be lost. So the Alshech comments here, and he says, what was so important about Esther's specific commands? Why do we have to know each thing Esther said? Hinei katavnu shesiper la'Esther asher karahu. Mordechai came and told Esther what was going on. V'hi kihigid Mordechai asher amar la'aliyahu shebechol hasipor hi ka'asher he'atachnu l'shono ki ha'avo she'ilu la'aliyahu alma shenitchayvu v'amar lahem. The Alshech is comparing to a story with Eliyahu. That's why he keeps bringing up Eliyahu, but we're going to focus on the Esther component. V'amar lahem, Alshenehenu misu'udat Achashverosh. Esther picked up that she believes this was happening to the Jewish people because of what happened at the Se'uda with Achashverosh, that they came and they participated in Achashverosh's party. Od hodiya la ki hayat tzarich tikun al yada. So she needed to fix what had happened. L'chaper be'id She'ol ha-gorim bi'at ha-man la'olam ha-mechtiyim b'se'uda al-kim ba'a kerofei. So she knew her role was to come fix what had happened at the Se'uda of Achashverosh, that because of what they had sinned there, Haman was brought into the world, and now Esther had to fix it. V'tomer lo lech kenos. So therefore she said, come gather them. We're going to gather them again, And as opposed to it being for the Seudah, they all gathered and they came to the Seudah of Achashverosh. We're going to gather them to fix it. Evo zorasa v'tachar asher kinsam haman el hamishta ata lech kinos asher hetziva v'al ya'aleh aruchacha la'asot al yadei shaliach kol achar ata ba'atzmacha lech kinos ki gam ata mizera sha'ul v'tikanen asher otau ki lo eit tachsisei srara la'asot al yadei shaliach v'asa mida k'negen mida ki hamishta haya lekol ha'am hanim tza'im b'shushan avira. So you all came together and you enjoyed this party of Achashverosh and you sinned. So now also, everyone has to go around and they themselves have to come and they have to gather together. And just like you didn't send a shaliach to the party, you didn't send a representative, every person went on their own. They went and they sinned at this party, so too each person is going to have to fix this. We're going to have to gather together and we're going to have to fast. L'umat ha'achila v'ashtia ha'hi v'hinei ra'oi l'asim liv ki achar amru v'tzumu lo yada shelo yachlu v'lo yishtu v'kin amru gamani natzum v'lo atzum l'shon yachid. So she specifically says, you are going to not eat, and you are not going to drink, and you are going to fast. She could have just said you're not going to fast. She was pointing out to them, you sinned with eating and drinking at the party. Now, specifically to fix this, we are going to not eat and we are going to not drink and we are going to all gather together for good. So this shows on an even deeper level that Esther had this same midah of being able to be perceptive. That Esther zeroed in and she said, what has brought this to the Jewish people? Yes, I could just go before Achashverosh and I could beg and plead and do whatever I'm going to need to do. But no, we have to fix the reason exactly why this came upon us in the beginning. And she said, this came to us because we sinned at the party of Achashverosh. So to fix it, we have to fix what happened at the party of Achashverosh. So just like Vashti took what everyone had done and she used that for the bad, Esther perceived exactly what had brought this problem to the Jewish people. And she said, we're going to fix each aspect. We're going to gather together for good. You eat in a way you shouldn't have. We're going to not eat. And you drink in a way that you shouldn't have, we're going to not drink. And only after we have tried everything to directly counteract everything we did wrong, then I will go before the king. So I think we can see very clearly this midah of being perceptive, of tuning in, of zeroing in on exactly what the problem is or what people's sensitivity is, and working from there. So once we see this in both of the women in the Megillah, I was wondering if we see it in any other places. And I think we also see it with Haman. It says in a Gemara, I was not able to find the Gemara for this one point. There is a Gemara that talks about when Haman made his lottery. He put all the months in the lottery to figure out when he was going to destroy the Jewish people. And he pulled out Adar. It is said that when Haman was doing this raffle, it was Nisan. So that was almost a year away when he picked out Adar. And one may think that Haman would have been upset. Why such a delay? Of course, I could have chosen any month. Why did I have to be in the month that's the furthest from now? But rather, the Gemara says that Haman was overjoyed. Why was Haman overjoyed? He was overjoyed because he said this was the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died. Yeah, he forgot that Moshe Rabbeinu was also born then. But he said this is the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died. And I am so happy that I am going to get to kill Bnei Yisrael in this month that they're already down. Why did he think Bnei Yisrael were already down? He said Moshe Rabbeinu died, and he knew. What did that symbolize? Moshe Rabbeinu was our closest connection to Hashem. He was the Navi that spoke face to face with God. He was the one that brought us the Torah down from Har Sinai. And he said, great, the month that Bnei Yisrael lose their connection to Hashem, what makes them the strongest, their connection to Hashem, their connection to Torah, I'm going to get them when they're down. That this is when they're the lowest either way, and I'm going to zero in on that, and that's when I'm going to kill them. So this was Haman. Haman also had this midah. And he said, I'm going to take them when they're down, and I'm going to work off of that. The Gemara, and it's interesting, we see that this midah can be used in such different ways. But this is not a foreign idea. The Gemara in Shabbos says, the Gemara is talking about people who are born at different times, different hours, under different constellations. And the Gemara says, that's a tongue twister. Yihi gever ashid. So it says a person who is born under the influence of Mars will be one who spills blood. Dima amarav ashi I umna ki gavna I tavcha I mohela amarava ana mamadim vihu amar abaye mar nami anish vikatil. So they're having this conversation and they say that someone who is born under the auspices of Mars will be either a bloodletter or a thief or a shochet or a mohel. So we say these are very different things. One who is a thief or a one who is a thief or a bloodletter, one that kills or one that steals, is very different from a shochet or a mohel. But what the Gemara is teaching us, as it continues and says, Rava says, I'm none of these things. I was born under Mars, whatever that means, and I'm not a thief and I'm not someone who spills blood. Abaye said, my master also punishes and kills as a judge. That he says, you channel this in a very different way. That you are a judge, which means you also decide who lives and dies. You're not physically going out and killing people, but you channel this in an appropriate way. So what we learn from the Gemara is that there are midot in the world. There are different traits that exist in the world, and they can either be channeled for good or for bad. And that's much like what we're seeing in the Megillah. That Vashti and Haman used this ability to be perceptive and to see what most people are most sensitive in, and they used it for evil, while Esther was able to zero in on this same midah, to be perceptive, to zone in on what people are sensitive in, but she used it for good. But so what made Esther so successful while Vashti and Haman were so unsuccessful? I think the key to why Vashti was unsuccessful lies in our understanding of Ahasuerus, and we're not going to go down that route, but I think there is often, that can be a totally different here, the misunderstanding of Ahasuerus. And I think that's, for another time, why Vashti was unsuccessful. But I think if we look at why Haman was unsuccessful, we can learn a very deep message in which we can understand all of the Megillah and we can take away from Purim. So, as you pointed out, Haman not only realized that Moshe was born died in Adar, but he missed that Moshe was born in Adar. But on an even deeper level, Haman misunderstood what the death of Moshe represented to the Jewish people. If you look in the Gemara in Temura, it says, "B'matnitin." It says in a Braita, "Tana elef v'shiva me'ot kalin v'chamurin v'gzirut shavo v'dikduke sofrim nishtachkechu b'yamei avlo shal Moshe." So it says 1,700 halachu were lost at the time of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Amar Rabbi Abayhu, afal pichin hachziran at Niel ben Kenaz mitoch pilpulo shene emar ve'el kedat Niel ben Kenaz. So it says in the Gemara in Temura that when Moshe died, 1,700 halachot were lost to Bnei Israel. However, it continues and says, during the days of Atniel ben Kenaz, these 1,700 halachot were brought back to us. How were they brought back to us? Through his learning and his pilpul and his really delving into the learning, we were able to reconstruct these halachot and learn them once again. So what do we learn from here? Haman thought that the death of Moshe brought about a downward spiral for the Jewish people. He said Moshe was their ultimate connection to Hashem. He was their ultimate connection to Torah. When he was lost, look, right away when Moshe died, it says, "B'yamei avlo." That means in the days of mourning for Moshe. This short period, they lost so much when Moshe died. But Haman failed to realize that the Jewish people is not like that. The Jewish people do not lose one connection to Hashem and say, that's it. From now on, it's just going to be downward spiral until we eventually disappear. Rather, not long after, in the days of Adniel ben Kenaz, we reestablished our connection to Hashem. We rebuilt it and we approached Hashem in a new way. We said our connection to Torah is no longer going to be this face-to-face, Hashem handing it to Moshe who gave it straight over to us. It's going to have to be something we work at. It's going to have to be something we construct for ourselves, something we learn out. And that's the new connection to Torah that was built in the days of Atniel ben Kenaz. So Haman had a short-sightedness. He saw that we had lost our connection in that time, and he said, great, perfect, I'll get them when they're down. I picked up on that one point, and I'm going to get them from there. Also, we see that Haman tried to be perceptive when he approached Ahasuerus to try to kill the Jewish people. He famously said to Ahasuerus, he said, "Yeshnam am mefuzar u'mefurad bein ha'amim." And many commentators comment on these words. Certain commentators pick up on the word yeshnam, that it's an am yeshinim, that Haman was saying to Ahasuerus, this is a sleeping people. They're asleep at the wheel. They're not passionate in the way they used to be. They're not driven and motivated in the way they used to be. Or other commentators pick up on the am mefuzar u'mefura, that we're a scattered people, that the Jewish people aren't united. And he zeroed in on that one aspect. But Haman was short-sighted, and he didn't pick up on the subtlety of our relationships. That the Jewish people become, our relationship with Hashem waxes and wanes, and as we saw with Hosea last week, there are times when we're so connected to Hashem and there are times when we're not. But it's never all lost for the Jewish people. You can never say about the Jewish people, they're a completely scattered people. Because it may have been that at this time, that in Shushan, at this point, they were a scattered people. But there are other times, as we see through, even throughout just in, as we go on in the Megillah, they united and they came together, and that's what brought about their strength. The Jewish people come and go. Something that is their strength at one point can be their weakness at another point. And Haman was not perceptive to this. He didn't have the ability to see beyond each specific instance. He said, oh, look, the Jews are not united. And he couldn't see that picking on them not being united would bring them together even more. He couldn't see that right now they were yeshenim, they were asleep at the wheel, they weren't passionate. But when it came to fighting off a common enemy, as usually happens, they were reignited. And we know at the end of the Megillah it says, kimu v'kiblu, that they came and they reaccepted all of the Torah, that specifically what Haman picked apart brought about an opposite result. Haman was perceptive, but only to a point. And that's the message of the Megillah, that I think that we can pick out and we can say, why was Esther successful? Because Esther was perceptive to human nature, to things that are always part of what people want. People want to feel that they have a partner. They want to feel like they have someone who's rooting for them. They want to feel like they have someone who represents them. That's something that's inherent in human nature. Whereas Haman, and we can say also about Vashti, picked up on specific points and tried to work from there. But they didn't see the big picture. They saw each instance as separate and unique, and Esther was able to see big picture. And this is the message of the Megillah, that if we look at each and every instance in the Megillah, we can explain it naturally very easily. We can say, it's not strange that someone comes before the king with a plot, with a plan, and tries to win over the king and is successful. And then someone comes with a more successful sounding idea to the king, and they win in the end of the day. So Haman came, had one plan, it sounded good to Ahasuerus, but when Esther came with another plan, it sounded even better. That's not hard to explain. So if you look at the Megillah, and you look at each thing separately, and you only zero in on those specific instances, it's easy to explain naturally. But when we zoom out, and we look at everything as a whole, and we really try to understand the deeper message behind the whole Megillah, we understand that it had to be the hand of Hashem. That we may be able to explain each and everything that happened in the Megillah separately, but when you look at the subtleties of the entire picture, the entire Megillah as a whole, that it's impossible to say that it's not Yad Hashem. And just to conclude and make this point even stronger, the question is asked, why do we have to read Parshat Zachor about Mechiyat Amalek, destroying Amalek, right before Purim? It says in Devarim Zachor, this is what we read in Parshat Zachor, Zachor asher asalecha Amalek b'derech b'tzitzcha mimitzrayim. Remember what Amalek did to you when you were leaving Mitzrayim. Asher karcha b'derech v'yizaniv b'cha kol hanichshalim acharecha v'atam ayif v'yageya v'lo yirei Elokim. So remember what Amalek did to you, asher karcha b'derech. And the Mefarshim all try to explain, what does this mean, asher karcha b'derech? And Rashi explains, asher karcha b'derech lashon mikra, that Amalek represents this idea of happenstance. That Amalek, what do they try to do? Lashon keri v'tuma shahaya mitumim b'mechshav zachor. So Rashi goes on and gives, it could be, he starts with this explanation that it's mikra, that Amalek represents this idea of everything being random, everything being happenstance. And Rashi goes on and gives a few more explanations we're not going to go into. Rashi says, Amalek represents this idea that everything is random. Everything has no thought behind it. It just comes via happenstance. Everything is an interesting coincidence. That's what the message of Amalek. They try to convince you that everything has no plan. Everything just happens. And the Shem Shmuel on Purim talks about this, and he says, "V'hinei Amalek higid higid Avian Mor his Rebbe shehu hipoch She Amalek milashon meukal, that Amalek is from the word of crooked. She al kalkulot nikra Yisrael v'yishirun milashon yashar." That Amalek comes from this language of akalkelot, that they are crooked, while Bnei Yisrael, that we know they're referred to as Yeshirun, Milashon Yashar, they are straight. V'amar kan Yisrael, shenitzchu al ha'amalekim mi'ukalim zachu l'vchinat yosher. That Amalek that tries to make everything crooked, they try to specifically mess with your brain, they try to make all of your thoughts crooked, Bnei Yisrael, we're able to, what we are trying to do is we're trying to defeat them and therefore merit to putting everything back in order. That we know naturally that everything has a reason. And Amalek comes along and they say, no, we're going to make that crooked. We're going to make you think that everything just happens randomly. There's no order behind everything, especially at this point when they're coming to Bnei Yisrael who just left Mitzrayim. They see so clearly that Hashem has a plan for everything. And Amalek comes along and says, no, you think that everything has a plan. Really, it's all just random. Nothing has a reason. Nothing is worth working towards because nothing has a reason. Everything is random. And once we are able to defeat Amalek and we are able to win over them and we're able to make straight everything that they have made crooked, Amar Khan Zachu Gam L'Simcha. That's when we have Simcha, when we have happiness. V'zehu La'ihudim Haita Or V'Simcha. That's why when the power of Esther and her ability to be perceptive and really figure out what the Jews had to do to put everything back in order, when she won over the power of Haman, the power of Vashti, this power of Amalek, that's when we had Laihudim Haita Ora V'Simcha. V'zemitorer b'kol shana, this we learn from this every year, She'Yisrael al kol panim l'sha'atam b'parshat Zachor b'kriyat ha'megillah menatzchin et tumat Amalek v'zochin gam l'simcha. And this is the message that we are meant to take from the Megillah. That not everything is random. It's not just choosing one point here and one point there, as Haman was saying, that he's going to take on this one thing and that Vashti was able to do. We're going to pick apart this one thing. Rather, it's being like Esther and being able to say, we're going to see everything as part of the big picture. And we're going to use this ability to be perceptive, to see that Hashem is behind everything. And why did we end up in this situation? And before I can just go before Ahasuerus and plead for our lives, I have to appeal to Hashem, who really runs our lives. And say, we're going to fix what we did, and we're going to perceive those pieces, and we're going to work off of those to improve ourselves, and then we can come before Hashem. So I think we can take this midah of being perceptive and read it into the Megillah and say, the message of the Megillah is that Hashem is in our lives even when we don't see him, and that we can't just look at each individual thing that happened in the Megillah and say, it can all be explained, it all just happened, because that's the message of Amalek. But we have to use our strength, which is the ability to perceive these things and perceive that Hashem is hidden in the big picture.